Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Saturday, end of the week, our day to look back on what's been going on. What a crazy, wild week. You know, it just seems it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's just, it's nutso. And I think a lot of people can be forgiven for feeling like they're waking up either from this very wonderful dream of what this nation used to be, and they're having to sort of readjust to what it really is, or they've fallen asleep into a nightmare they can't wake up from because the stories about the torture and the things this government has been doing behind our collective backs, with our money, in our name. No wonder the rest of the world hates us. And I'm sitting here thinking, of all the nonsense for George Bush to be standing there saying, remember, those terrorists only hate us because of our freedoms, even as he was taking the last of them away. We don't have freedom of speech anymore. We have to confine ourselves to these free speech zones. The no-knock and warrantless wiretaps and all the rest of that stuff has made a mockery of pretty much the rest of the Bill of Rights. The federal government has been ignoring the 10th Amendment for years now, and some of the states are finally starting to take steps on that particular issue. I mean, George Bush said the Constitution is just a blankety-blank piece of paper, which shows his ignorance. It's actually parchment. And it's just amazing. We've all taken the red pill. And we've woken up, we've yanked the wires out, and we're looking at the world as it really, truly is, and it is not pleasant. This is not a country I can feel proud of. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a lot of other stuff looking back over this last week. If you'd like to join us on the air, the number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And I'm ashamed to admit, I don't know who's in the control room today. Normally I do, and I'll find out here real quick and identify the individual so that you can say, hey, whoever it is out there in the control room. So anyway, moving right along here and looking at the news, the economic news, it's kind of interesting because we're starting to see a greater and greater dichotomy between the cheerleading that's going on to try and reassure us that the economy is fine and we should go back to our old spending habits and we should go back, most importantly, to our old borrowing habits. But the reality is that retail sales continue to decline. The foreclosures continue to go up. The actual hard indicators indicate that we have not seen the worst of this yet. We're now getting into a situation where the commercial real estate is starting to collapse, and they're starting to default on their loans. And as I've mentioned before, economies rest on a foundation of the working people. And when you take their jobs away and they no longer have money, the cracks from that wounded foundation start working their way up higher and higher. And pretty soon it's not just individual homes that are foreclosed, it's businesses, it's shopping malls. We had a caller on the show yesterday was talking about a shopping mall near their home, big one, big, huge, one of these Galleria type malls. And it's only about 12 years old and it's being demolished now. It went bankrupt. They couldn't pay their bills. Nobody else wanted to come in and buy that space because it's obviously not generating revenue, so they're knocking it down. Who knows what they're going to put in there? But we're hearing that from all across the country. There's a shopping mall just down the road here, right by Honolulu Harbor. And I'm only sensitive to it because we used to work in a building right next door to it. We used to use it as a soundstage. And that shopping mall is greater than 50% vacancy right now, way over 50%. I didn't have to sit there counting and saying, okay, they've got 22 slots and 12 of them are empty. I mean, it was way obviously more than half, but half is safe, and that's what we're going to talk about here. So it's getting gritty out there, and yet on the TV talking heads, they're still out there trying to pom-pom the economy and tell you everything is really great. And so there's a real dichotomy. They're trying to fix the economy. Actually, they're not fixing the economy. They're just trying to make it look good. And I think that's almost become emblematic of the media and our government as a whole. It doesn't have to be good. It just has to look good. It's okay for us to torture as long as we paper it over and we come up with a really good excuse for it. This is actually a very childish kind of an attitude, if you think about it, that we can do whatever we want as long as we've got somebody to blame, you know, like Nancy Pelosi is now trying to do to the Central Intelligence. Actually, she changed her story this morning. Nancy Pelosi, in fact, you heard it on the news break just now. Nancy Pelosi has changed her story. It's not the CIA that misled her. It's the Bush administration. This is in reply to Panetta's memo yesterday, basically saying we told the truth. And like I've said before, I'm no friend of the Central Intelligence Agency. I think they're a very destructive force in the world. But in this particular case, I'm inclined to take their version of events over Nancy Pelosi. Mostly because when the Democrats took control of Congress in 2006, it was Nancy Pelosi who was standing there at the gate with the halberd saying, no, you will not investigate President Bush. Which right there tells you she was complicit and guilty in everything that Bush was doing. And it's one more indication that this idea of Democrat versus Republican, it's really just, it's a manufactured illusion to give you the idea that there really is some kind of choice in the government, and there really isn't. It's all one party, the Republicrats, or the Democans, or the Demonkins, if you want to go that route. But it really is. It's the haves versus the have-nots, which I think is the core of any political conflict throughout history. The people who've so ordered society so that the money all flows to them, and they think that's the way the deities intended it to be. And, you know, across the country, we're seeing a lot of people who've woken up to reality of what the United States government is and has been doing. And I know the deeply religious are able to somehow convince themselves that torture is really okay, but then, you know, they think Bush's talk. So, you know, burning bushes will talk and people can walk on water and the earth rests on pillars. And I guess if you can believe all of that stuff, you can believe that torture serves a noble purpose. For those of us living in the real world, this is probably the worst scandal in our nation's history. Anyway, let's look at some things here from the news. And if I sound a little tired tonight, I'm going to apologize right now. I've got the coffee here and I'm chugging it down here. I was up very late last night with a video camera shooting videotape. So I'm just getting the coffee in and getting cranked up this morning. One of the big stories we had this last week, of course, is that President Barack Obama, or as I'm starting to call him, President Waffle, again reversed himself, waffled on the topic. He campaigned on the idea that he was going to close down Guantanamo and he was going to end the military tribunals. And he has flipped on both of those. Guantanamo is going to remain open in a somewhat reduced state. And he's bringing back the military tribunals. And he says these are going to be tribunals light because there'll be some added legal protections for the prisoners. This is like saying rape is less of a crime if you use a condom, which I don't think the rape victims are going to agree with that one. And the reality here is the reason they're going with the military tribunals, it doesn't matter what legal protections they have. The key point here is they're going to allow confessions extracted under torture as evidence. And the reason they're doing this is very, very simple. The U.S. is stuck with about 50 to 100 individuals who are an embarrassment. There is no evidence to take them through the normal justice system in the United States. There's no evidence that's going to convince a jury of 12 people that these guys are guilty of anything beyond a reasonable doubt. And yet, these individuals are carrying scars on their bodies, which are going to be even more damaging to the reputation of the United States, like we have any left here. One story that surfaced, I'd been looking for confirmation. I finally found it. I put up on whatreallyhappened.com today. One of the individuals in Guantanamo, his lawyer is reporting, and how can I put this so that we don't lose our FCC license, is showing the scars of injuries caused by a razor blade to his genitalia. I guess that's a polite way of putting it. So that's the stuff that's been going on. And even that is not the worst of what's going on. We're going to take a break here. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
The is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. The coffee is kicking in. I'm waking up. Matt is in the control room, his hand hovering over the phone, waiting to swoop down and grab it the instant it rings, put you on the air to talk about whatever it is that's just chapping your hides today. And there's a lot out there, and there's a lot of anger. And I think what's going on for a lot of people is we're all waking up and realizing that we're all the children of very abusive, psychotic parents. And coupled with that is the realization, you know, first of all, the parent is not perfect, not by any stretch of the imagination. And second, we're not the ones who are the problem. It's the parents who are the problem. I don't know if you ever know anything about abused children, but abused children growing up, because of their dependency on the parents, and by extension, our dependency supposedly on the government, they are forced psychologically to see their parents as perfect. So when the parents behave badly, when they're abusive, the children say, it must be my fault. Because, you know, if the parents are less than perfect, then I'm dealing with security issues about, you know, will they be here tomorrow? Will there be food on the table tomorrow? So forth and so on. And as you get older and you start becoming more and more self-reliant, then you have the psychological freedom to realize that, no, it's actually the parents who are really kind of messed up. And that's kind of where we all are as Americans right now. And if you understand anything about the dynamics of young people who are starting to become independent and who hit that point of realizing that their parents are not perfect people, it triggers a lot of anger. That's where a lot of that adolescent rebellion anger comes from, is the kids are dealing with the fact that these large, godlike figures of parents that they've grown up with really are just big kids themselves. And it will trigger a lot of anger. I think a lot of people are still in shock. There's a lot of denial out there about what's going on. But some of the anger that's coming in the emails and the phone calls, it's palpable. It's palpable. And part of it, of course, is, you know, I'm kind of wondering, is this going to be the event that finally forces the American people to confront the reality of what the United States government is all about? And it really is kind of a watershed moment here, because I have to be very honest. If the American people don't get angry over this torture scandal, I'm having a real hard time trying to figure out what it is the American people would even object to. I'm reminded very much of that wonderful speech from Boston Legal from the episode Stick It, where the lawyer, I think the character's name is Crane, is summing up for this very lovely young lady who has been arrested for refusing to pay taxes because she does not support the war. And it is this wonderful sum up about all the times he thought the American people were going to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is not the country we're supposed to have. The free speech zones, the warrantless wiretapping, the renditions. And somebody in the chat room is saying, well, if it isn't on TV, it isn't reality. That's actually true for a lot of people. But now the torture scandal is on TV. It is on TV. People are looking, even especially, my hat's off to Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. Right now, MSNBC is pretty much the only news station I'll ever look at anymore. And I don't 100% trust them either, but definitely Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow. They're telling it. They're telling the story that's out there. They're a little late. They're reporting today the stuff the blogs were reporting on 5 and 6 years ago, but at least they're reporting it, and it's getting out there on the corporate media, and maybe it's because we here in the blogs forced the issue where it's becoming so widely known because of the blogs. The corporate media is finally having to say, look, we've got to cover this story, or we're going to look really, really bad, and we're going to lose more and more of our audiences. Which is a good thing. I mean, not losing the audiences, but the recognition that they've got to start doing the job or they're going to lose their audiences. So, back to the original issue. Like this character Crane on Boston Legal, I'm wondering, what does it take to push Americans to the point of saying, okay, this cannot go on any longer. This shall not stand. Where is that line? It's got to be around here somewhere. It's got to be around here somewhere. Right now, we're about where the Romanians were when they had their revolt. Same situation. TV cameras on every street corner. The government is reading mail, listening on the phone calls. No warrants. No due process. We're there. We're where Romania was. And we have a rapidly deteriorating economy on top of it all. Somewhere around here, in the darkness, there's that line that the government is going to step over that will provoke that final angry reaction. It's around here somewhere. We just got to figure out where it is. So, anyway, moving right along here, and getting back to the torture scandal, we're going to cover other things as well, but this is the main story. This is the main story. And I know it's a downer on a Saturday, and you don't want to hear this stuff. Well, I guess you do, because you're tuned in here. And little dials on the streaming server and everything, they're still twitching up there. So, you know, thank you for sharing your Saturday morning with me. Now, I've been talking about this idea, this reference to Kafka, that we have been torturing people in Iraq to find weapons of mass destruction that never existed. And we got a sort of a confirmation on that story in which the director of the torture laboratory at Guantanamo, I guess they experiment a lot down there, was sent to the Iraq search group in Iraq and recommended they start torturing people to find the weapons of mass destruction. The story we're getting now is that the Iraq search group said, we're not going to do that. It won't get us any meaningful information. If we torture them enough, they'll say, yes, there's WMDs, which would have been perfectly fine for Dick Cheney and George Bush. You know, yes, they admit they're there. We can't find them, but they've admitted they've got them. But much to their credit, if the story is true, the Iraq search group said, no, we're not going to do that because it's not going to be it's not going to provide productive information. We know now, of course, the weapons were never there. It was a lie. It was a lie. I'm not going to call it, you know, unrealistic expectations or what are the other euphemisms the media has been using to avoid calling it a lie all these years. Bad intelligence, misdirected information. They had a whole bunch of these little phrases there because they didn't want to use the L word. You know, you can get in trouble using the F word on radio and TV, but you're really going to be in trouble if you use the L word, if you dare suggest the Bush administration. Never mind Bush administration. The whole government was complicit. The government lied you into a war. There, I said it. And that is the point. The government lied you into a war. You paid for it. Your children died for it. And we're finding out now that the entire justification for the war rested on a confession extracted under torture. And all those people dead. And not just the people dead. I mean, obviously, that's a major problem. The cultural heritage of Iraq has been pretty much destroyed. The museum got looted. We've built an airbase runway over the remains of the city of Ur. We were talking the other day about how Israel's trying so hard to erase the cultural heritage of the Palestinians. America just did the same thing in Iraq. It's erasing them from the face of the earth like they never existed. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Tonight. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And Matt is back in the control room if you want to call in. And going back to the news here, we've got a couple more things on this whole torture thing. Then we're going to move on to the hate crimes bill. Apparently, there's a new military incursion by Israel into Gaza. It's rocking and rolling all over the place. And it's all unfun stuff. Double plus ungood. Double plus ungood here. So anyway, the last thing I want to cover about the torture thing before we move on here is we've been talking about this story where children were being tortured in Guantanamo and in Abu Ghraib as a means to try and coerce information from their parents. We also know that there was a videotape of young boys being sodomized in front of female prisoners, and that was on videotape as well. We're now finding out the female prisoners were the mothers of the children. So they were basically taking these kids and sodomizing them in front of their parents and putting it on videotape. And like I said, I want to know who in Washington, D.C., was getting their jollies watching these tapes late at night in the back room when nobody was around, and they're hearing the shrieking of the boys and the crying of their mothers, you know, and they're saying, this is good stuff. All right, we're going to go to the phones here. We've got two callers on the line. We're going to go to Karen in Maryland. Creation of college degrees. Okay, Karen, you called in about this before. This is not really a topic for our show, and I'm not sure why you keep calling in with this thing. So,
if you'd like me to call back and cover it at a different time, that's fine.
Well, it's not really a topic for this show here, but thank you very much for the call anyway. We're going to switch over to Rick in Kansas. Aloha, Rick. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Yes. Democrats have made a climate change bill,
mm-hmm.
and they're saying that the bill will create millions of new clean energy jobs and save consumers hundreds of billions of dollars.
Got to use Mr. Tongue and Mr. Lips. I hear what you're saying. And here's the problem I have with the bill. When they talk about creating all these new green jobs, what they're doing is they're talking about they're going to destroy a whole bunch of the non-green jobs. And usually there are more of the non-green jobs lost for every one of the green jobs that are created. And it's creating stuff out of thin air that isn't going to work and is of lower quality. And I'll give you a perfect example. A while back, there was a proposal here in Hawaii to ban all batteries that had any mercury content in them at all. And I understand mercury's bad for the environment. And all of a sudden, the stores were flooded with these mercury-free, green environmental batteries, and they were about twice as expensive as the other batteries. And they only lasted half as long. So in this case, green was an excuse to sell us something that didn't really work very well for more money and you know, greater profit. And it was just really a scam. And after a while, people just wouldn't buy them anymore and went back to using the old batteries. And that was kind of the end of that situation. But I think the reason the Democrats are doing this is because they understand there's a new tax involved here. And the government is so broke, they're going to vote for anything that increases taxes. They really are. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, they're going to tax people who worship Lucifer or something like that. You know, got to do that whole thing. Like the opening to the movie Popeye with Robin Williams, and the guy says, well, there's a 2 cent asking a question tax. And it just gets completely out of control. The other reason, of course, is the Democrats are sitting here and everybody's saying, why have you not done anything? You've had Congress since 2006. The wars are still going on. The investigation into Bush's have never happened. All the things that we gave you Congress to do aren't being done. And so the Democrats are going to say, well, we have passed a climate change bill. You know, and we're going to stop global warming. And it's wonderfully timed because the Earth is already going into a cooling phase. And so a year from now, they're going to stand, I promise you, they're going to be standing for the next election saying, I voted for this climate bill, and by golly, the Earth is getting colder. And am I not a wonderful person? And it's just all politics as usual. And these inflated ideas about we're going to create so many green jobs, forget green. If they could create jobs, they'd be doing it right now, and they aren't. And that is the bottom line. That's why it is all USDA choice bovine excrement. If they could create any jobs, they would have done it by now. So it's
and I like how they're trying to say that they're going to save us hundreds of billions in energy costs. You know, that's a joke because if you're going to raise the cost to the energy companies to do business, they're going to raise the cost to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're going to save us all this money in energy costs by ordering us to turn down our thermostats and use smaller light bulbs. And actually what they're going to do is say, you can only have electricity 6 hours a day and the rest of the time use candles. Turn off those stupid computers. You don't want to be on the Internet anyway. We'll tell you everything you need to know over the TV networks.
Yeah.
You know,
and light bulbs are the same way. They're getting rid of incandescent and fluorescent. And if you go on the FDA's website, then fluorescent bulbs are made in China. They have mercury in it. And if you break one, they tell you to leave the room for an hour before you come back in to clean the light bulb mess, you know, to let the mercury settle.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they're very, very toxic compared to the other bulbs. Ultimately, though, I think we're going to see the LED bulbs are going to reach the kind of brightness it takes to basically take over even from the compact fluorescents. I don't think the CFCs are going to be here that much longer. But again, it's all about selling a new product, and they come in and say, oh, this is better for you, and this is bad for you. And I know people who can't handle the CFCs because it gives them headaches, you know, the flickering. That screws up their brain waves and so forth and so on. So, a lot of times it isn't really necessarily something that's beneficial or more efficient. It's just, you know, it's just selling you another product that is, you know, going to make some favored crony a lot more money. And a good example of this, when the CFCs came along, they were being sold to us on this idea that we were going to save money because they were going to use less and less electricity and the compact fluorescents were going to last forever and forever and forever. And these compact fluorescent bulbs that are in the stores now do not last. And yes, most of them, in fact, all of them that I can see at least here locally in the City Mill and Home Depot, they're all made in China and they don't last. The American companies that are designing them and setting the specifications are setting the specifications as low as they can to maximize their profits. They call it value engineering is the polite term for it. The real world is we're going to make it so cheap that we can make huge amounts of money very quickly and buy ourselves a yacht. And the reality is these compact fluorescent bulbs, they burn out very quickly. We've had some of them because we went all CFC in our household about, a little over a year ago, you know, trying to do our part and everything. And we went out and we invested a lot of money in buying these compact fluorescent bulbs for the entire house. And they started failing almost immediately. They've got a very high failure rate. And so we're actually spending more money than we would have, you know, just sticking with tungsten bulbs. Plus, if you think about the energy used in the manufacturing of these bulbs, you're not saving all that much power because it takes more electricity to make these bulbs than it does to make the old traditional tungstens.
Yeah, they're supposed to last 5 years according to the package, but
no.
I don't think I've had one last 5 months yet.
Yeah, that's about where they are. That's about where we are as well. And so you're spending all this additional money. There's all the transportation costs for replacements that are coming in here. That's adding to global warming. It doesn't really work. We're told, hey, this is great, buy them. They aren't. And, American corporations get away with lying to us all the time. I remember when CD-ROM first came out and they were saying, oh, these will last as long as, regular real CDs and you can put your data and your precious photos on them and so forth and so on. And we went through this nightmare about 3 years ago where we started reorganizing our data archives from our business and the disks we'd been making our first year of business had all self-erased. And, you know, a lot of us say it's all gone. It's just vanished into the ether. Future archaeologists are going to have a real hard time figuring out what happened in this particular period of Earth's history, assuming they can't figure it all out from the very large radioactive craters that they're going to find. But, we're sold all these things, and they don't really work, and they wind up costing us more and not doing what we need, and we're getting rooked. And now they're using environmentalism to sell us more junk. Stick on the line, Rick. We're going to be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
They still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Rick on the phone from Kansas. And, Rick, we got to finish up with you. We got another caller from Brazil waiting on the line back here. But basically, we need to be very, very careful because a lot of what we're told on the TV news is intending just to sell us products. It may even be look like a news story, but it's there to encourage you to go do something. I mean, you will see these puff pieces about, oh, this new, unusual whatever. And it's actually, you know, packaged, bought, and sold by a public relations firm. And it's not actually a commercial, but it's planted news. But the end result is the same, to get you to go out and buy something that you don't need. There are a lot of people who are convinced that this swine flu was hyped in the media, not only as a distraction from Calamity Jane Harmon, but basically to stimulate profits in the pharmaceutical industries. We saw the same thing back in 1976, where the flu vaccine killed more people than the flu itself did. Now we're hearing there's a new report. They're coming out here and saying, well, in addition to swine flu, there's some other unusual flus going around this season. Flu season should be over, and yet people are still getting these bugs. So rush out and get flu medicines and flu vaccines and so forth and so on. So, you know, this whole idea of this new green bill, you know, this climate bill that the Democrats are pushing through, it's one of their favorite plank issues. It's something that they can do that makes it look like they're doing something. But the reality is it's just a cover for the fact that the Democrats have failed, even with Barack Obama as the president, to really change anything substantive, which is the economy and the war. This idea of climate change, it's a manufactured issue to sell taxes and agendas and control over your life. And it's not backed up by science. You've got, you know, one former VP who admittedly does not have a science education himself, who ripped off some concepts and a couple of visual effects from one of the movies I worked on to, like, say, oh, we're all going to die if you don't go along with my cap and credit tax system, which has already made him incredibly rich in Europe. And yet you've got hundreds and hundreds of climatologists who are saying this is nonsense. It's fear-mongering. They're like any classic politician. They're taking something that happens naturally, which is climate change, and they're turning it into a crisis requiring a solution that only they can sell to you. And that's really what's going on. And that's a lot of what the green thing is about. And mind you, I love nature. I believe in taking care of the environment. I don't litter. I believe in recycling and wise use of resources, but a lot of the environmental hype we're hearing now is not about making a better earth. It's about selling products, selling agendas, selling you on the idea of the necessity of yet another tax on an already overtaxed population. Ricky, you there?
Oh, yes. I was listening to you and shaking my head the whole time.
Well, I'm glad somebody is.
I'm going to just ask two questions and let you go, and you don't have to answer them right away. You can get on to the other lady. But have you heard anything about the woman who, the old woman who had her house taken, or the kid who was taken by the Patriot Act? And thank you for taking my call.
Okay, you've got it. We covered those issues the other day. In both cases, there's a little bit of a gray area that is evolving, and we're still looking into that. But we're seeing some very egregious abuses. As the economy tightens, people tend to go into survival mode. And survival mode is, I'm going to do what gets me the money right now, and I can't afford to care about my neighbors. That, of course, is a very socially destructive attitude. And in maybe an hour or two, we'll get back into this. But we've got a caller who's calling long distance. I want to get to him. So, Solomon in Brazil. Aloha, Solomon. Or buenos dias.
Primero,
what is going on there?
Do you copy me loud and clear?
I'm sorry?
Do you copy me loud and clear?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. What can we do for you today?
Thank you very much for taking my call. It's a great pleasure to be on your program. And we all over the world will listen to GCN, and we would really like that GCN open up a line for international call, because it's a drag to really get in touch with you.
Well, I will pass that along to the management right after the show today.
It will be great because we are paying for the call, but it takes a long, and most of the time we get disconnected. My point is this, Brother Ribeiro. I'm angry.
Good.
I'm really angry.
Good.
I'm terribly angry. And people in America, my fellow citizens, my really dear fellow citizens should be very angry. This is a matter of disgrace. We have been fooled all over our life. And I would really like to talk to you a couple of points that I have hold in my heart because I consider myself living in exile, in a forceful and involuntary exile from my own country. Really, believe me, secret prisons in America do exist. Secret prisons in America do exist. And all this thing of Guantanamo and other places that they say that are taking away prisoners is just to distract the attention that we do have secret prisons in America, that we do kidnap people in America, that we put those people in secret holes and nobody knows about them because they don't have a name. They are not put in those places by name, by number, by nothing. They are put there just by a number. And they talk to you by a number. And they take your DNA and they know how to identify you by a number. So what you are talking in your program is essential, is critical. I'm trying to reach Alex Jones for more than 2 months and I couldn't do it because of the number. But here the thing is this. You are applying language. Brother Ribeiro, the key thing here is language. You are applying the right language. You are cutting out all the crap about euphemisms, all that stupidity, and all the so-called NLP, that is neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm.
All these terrible people that are in government all over the world, not only in the United States, it's a whole cabal. They are using neurological linguistic programming, and they are hypnotizing people. You are breaking up hypnotism.
Well, there's all kinds of technologies they're constantly experimenting with, and as we reported, I don't want to take up the time because this is long distance and it's
No, don't worry about that. I will gladly pay this because what you are doing is basic here. We have to break free from hypnotism. You call it torture. This is not abuse. It's torture. Killing is killing. It's not collateral damage. Fraud is fraud. It's not a fiasco, etc., etc. There are thousands of words that people just put it inside themselves and they repeat it over and over again like casualties. What a crap is casualty? Casualty is a military term.
Casualties is not people who are killed and crippled.
Civilian war would be deaths and people injured, but not casualties.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. By changing the wording and changing the definitions, they try and reduce its psychological impact. And,
exactly.
And that's exactly right.
Let me help you with this other thing too, Brother Ribeiro. All the things that are happening in our beloved country have been already tested in the backyard.
Yes.
Okay, this is the backyard. I have been present and reporting all the crap that have been happening during the last 40 years from this area, from South America and Central America, and all the things that are happening today, all this design, all this engineering have been created here. They have been testing in Chile. They have toppled down a democratic government. They put in a terrible military junta there. They have done it 30,000 killings in Argentina that are registered. I don't even know how many other more they are around, and nobody knows anything about that. In Brazil, it's the same. It was the same in Colombia. It was the same in Central America. Every one of the economic measures that they are taking have been already tested in all these places. Just take the words of Naomi Klein when she talks about the doctrine of shock.
Yes.
This is what is happening. And the only way to really rebel about this is mobilize. We have to keep mobilizing ourselves. We cannot sit in our places and thinking that because the Democrats are today in government, they are going to solve everything. No, the people are going to go to solve the things. They have to rebel. They have to use the mobilization. They don't have to stay at home every day permanently because one day they are going to go and pick them up and make it disappear in a hole.
Okay, well, Solomon, listen, we're at the end of the hour, and we have to let you go here, but you've been a great caller, and all of your points are bang spot on. Everything that the U.S. government is doing right now to our own people, doing in the Middle East, we've been doing it in South America for decades. We talk about Chile and Pinochet and the overthrow of Allende and all of that stuff we've covered many times on the show. Yes, it is the CIA. It is the reason so many people hate us. So, Solomon, aloha. Thank you for the call. We're going to take a break here for some news and commercials, and we'll be back in about 6 minutes. So stay tuned, folks. It's only going to get better in hour number two.
The Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Hour two of our Saturday look back at all the craziness that's been going on. We had some really good callers in hour number one. Mostly we were talking about the torture scandal. And as that last call from Solomon down in Brazil illustrated, a lot of anger out there. Justifiably so. Justifiably so. If you're not angry, there's something wrong with you. Maybe you're already dead. And I did make a promise. I did make a promise. I'm not going to call you sheeple anymore because I got a very, very nasty email from some sheep saying, please don't do that anymore because that was very, very insulting. So we're not going to do that anymore. Now, turning to some other news for hour number two here. And again, if you want to join us on the air, the number is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. There is a number where you can call from outside the country. If you go to whatreallyhappened.com, there's a number to use where the toll-free does not work here. Matt is in the control room, going to be grabbing the phone the instant it rings. And we're turning back here to this hate crimes bill, which is still in flux. There are going to be hearings about it this week. This is, of course, being pushed by the Anti-Defamation League, who basically wrote the core of the original bill. And it's being couched as necessary to provide protection for special targeted victim groups. But it is widely being recognized that this legislation is going to be used basically as an assault on the First Amendment. They're basically, if they can declare a particular opinion to be hate speech, then they can censor it. And obviously, as Israel's reputation in the world continues to fall from Operation Cast Lead, and by the way, we're getting late word that there is a new armed incursion happening in Gaza right now as we speak. But as Israel's reputation continues to decline, basically becomes understood and accepted around the world that they are a nuclear power, despite their posturings to the contrary. That, in fact, Israeli contractors were side-by-side with the CIA at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo, torturing people. Israel's minions, their droogs, their drones, whatever you want to call them, are trying as hard as they can to get more laws passed in countries around the world in which criticism of Israel is equated as hatred of the Jewish people and therefore subject to censorship. And I'm one of these people who's very much opposed to this hate crimes bill. And of course, I'm going to get emails saying, well, you're a racist because we need this bill to protect the rights of blacks and gays and Hispanics and all the rest of that stuff. And no, that's not what it does. This bill exists to punish people who say things that other groups don't want to hear or have heard, more to the point here. Now, in the United States, and I realize it's been eroded, we're confined to zones, and more we're seeing attacks on it. But the whole reason for the First Amendment's got nothing to do with exotic dancers and provocative art in the galleries, which I'm in favor of anyway. I think if it isn't telling a message, if you're looking at a piece of sculpture or painting or a photograph, and it isn't telling you something about the world, then it isn't art, it's just decor. Now, but that aside, the First Amendment isn't about art versus decor or exotic dancers or any of the other things that are very often justified on the basis of freedom of speech. It's not about TV, not about movies, about the rest of it. This type of speech that the Founding Fathers were concerned about when they wrote the First Amendment was political speech. That everybody had a right to stand up and speak their mind about the politics of the country. And when you're discussing politics, inevitably, there is going to be a group of people who don't like what you're saying. Whether it's the Republicans not liking what the Democrats are saying, or the Democrats not liking what the Republicans are saying, or the incumbents not liking criticism, or in this case, Israel not liking criticism. If you believe in the principle of free speech, you have to believe that people have a right to say things you may not like and you may not agree with. And some of that stuff may even be directed against you. And that will be your test of your commitment to the principle of freedom of speech. So, what this bill does is it is a blatant attempt to break the United States up into groups again. Because of the blogs, because of the alternative media, we've been pulling together. We're not talking as much about black versus white and male versus female and religious versus atheist. We've been pulling together as Americans to deal with the problems that face us all, that unite us all, the excess taxation, the wars, the lies, the torture, all of those things. So what this bill is going to try and do is by creating special protected classes of people, it's a blatant attempt to get us to start squabbling amongst ourselves again. Because all of a sudden, these people are more worthy of legal protection than these people over here. That is completely contrary to the spirit of all men and women are created equal. And the idea is it's going to send a message to these other groups of people, you're not as important, you're a subclass. These people get special protection, these do not. That's what they've got in Israel with the color-coded license plates and everything. One set of laws for the chosen and another set of laws for everybody else. That's what this hate crimes bill does. It sets up special protected classes of people. Now, I think if you go into a bar and, if you go into a bar and you beat somebody up, you should be arrested and you should go to jail for that. And it doesn't matter who you beat up or why. It's still a crime. But this hate crimes bill, they're trying to punish the thought and intent rather than the actual crime. If you go and you beat up, you know, Joe the truck driver, you're going to get 6 months in jail. But if you go and you beat up one of these special protected classes, you'll get 2 years in jail because these people are more important to the legal system. We've got to make sure that you're not going to attack them. Go ahead and beat up the truck driver if you feel like you got to beat somebody up. Don't touch the protected class. And what this will do, this is going to create artificial schisms in our society where we're going to have all kinds of people pointing fingers at each other again and say, why is that person getting these special privileges? Why am I not getting these special privileges? And the idea is to get us arguing amongst ourselves and not uniting against the real problem, which is a government that lies to us, overtaxes us, tortures people, and is just acting like a Cold War relic that it is. And that's what we've got to be looking at. And that's why this hate bill is a very, very bad thing. It is an attack on freedom of speech. It is an attempt to divide and conquer the American people and turn us against each other. And the government's been doing that all along. If you go back and you look at the games that were played during the civil rights movement, where they were trying to foment friction between blacks and whites, because that kept us fighting amongst ourselves and made it very easy for the government to tax us and draft us and send our kids off to Vietnam. And that wore out, then we'll get the rich fighting against the poor, you know, by changing around the tax rules and making everybody feel they're being unfairly picked on. And then when that didn't work, covertly fund the feminist movement and get the radical feminists bashing the men and the men saying, we didn't do anything. There is no rape crisis. It's media hype. It's as real as global warming. And the idea is to constantly keep us fighting amongst ourselves so that we don't come together as a single united American people and deal with the real problems. The government is always going to make problems for us to deal with amongst ourselves. These people are protected. Oh, you can't say bad things about that group over there. Why not? They're saying bad things about us. I mean, these same people that are screaming about you can't say anything anti-Semitic and you can't spout hate, and yet they're some of the worst hate mongers out there, especially when it comes to talking about Muslims and Arabs. It's okay to bash them. Go beat them up at the bar. Don't find them in there. But, I mean, that's the whole point. They're creating special privileged classes. Okay, Mark, I'm sorry I talked into the end of the break. Hold on the line. We're going to come and take your phone call as soon as we come back from these words from our sponsor.
Public Radio. Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. And you gotta have proof. Distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We've got a caller on the line. We're going to go with Mark in Texas. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. One of the things I want to talk about is this auto bailout and how disturbing it is. And one of the things I want to bring out in this is, have you ever cut yourself and then looked at it and then said, you know, that's not that, oh, that hurts.
Yes. I still have the scar to prove it, you know.
Well, you know, the way I really see this whole thing playing out as a businessman is that really right now we haven't, the hurt hasn't hit us. And if we really look at this auto bailout picture and the repercussions from it, from the suppliers that are going to be affected, and then down to every town that has one car dealership,
mm-hmm.
And just right here yesterday in the Houston paper, one of our best dealers for Chrysler got six of his dealerships canceled. And this is the quote from him. We don't have any financial problems, and we've been in business 50 years. And, you know, on what really happened, we always say that don't look at what's going on. Look at what's being hidden.
Yes.
And why it's being hidden. And, Mike, I don't see it on this one. I don't see what is really going on here. And I wanted your insight on that.
Well, the overt reason for the closures of the dealerships is that they're basically pruning or culling the sales, the domestic sales force. The idea being that if all the dealerships are allowed to remain open, they're all going to go out of business because there just isn't that much purchasing of new cars going on. So by closing some of the dealerships, they'll drive the business to the ones that are left open and that they'll stay in business. That's the overt reason. The other part of it is they have to look like they're doing something. And they're not, you know, they don't want to cut the executive level that much other than token cuts. So by closing the dealerships, that's pretty major. Everybody's going to feel that and they're going to say, okay, I guess the automakers are in trouble. And you know, the other aspect of it may be that they're going to come back and say, you know, we can keep these dealerships open if we get more bailout money. You know,
but
could,
Mike,
actually be a form of blackmail.
Yeah, but they're all independents, and they all generate, and other than their floor plan that I'm very familiar with, what are they doing to suck dollars away from the manufacturer themselves? They are a revenue generator. That's what makes no sense, besides the fact that I'm really torqued over the Chrysler getting to keep their bailout money, and then we pay them. They generously spend our money saying, hey, here's another $7 billion you can have in the process.
Yeah, that does seem rather ludicrous. I mean, Chrysler took all that money. They're going down anyway, and we're going to give them another $8 billion to go bankrupt with. And it's absurd. It doesn't really make any sense at all. It's a glorious handout.
The other thing, I have followed Fiat for years and years because I'm a Ferrari fanatic. And
yes.
Ferrari is the only company they own that makes money. And to Fiat, a $2.3 billion loss, that's a great year for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, with these multinational corporations, they'll keep a going concern, a company, a division that's losing money in order to lower their taxes.
Well, I deal with some European companies, and a lot of those companies get government subsidization. I don't know how much longer they can keep that up, but I think Fiat is probably well within the range of what happens there.
Yes. And, I know about this whole subsidy situation, and I don't agree with it because it uses taxpayer money to prop up and subsidize corporations that can't compete on their own. And it sort of perpetuates bad engineering and bad design and some very lazy production attitudes. And I hate to be this way, but if you look at a lot of what comes out of Italy, it all looks really good. It's very shoddy workmanship and very flimsy. And now we're seeing that, of course, here in the United States as we become more and more along that same attitude ourselves. I don't think the government should be subsidizing businesses.
Last topic that I'd like to go over and is going to include General Motors. And
yeah.
It was on what really happened that the article came out that Deutsche Bank downgraded their bond status. And General Motors was in good shape until then. Yes. And then after that happened, then they just kept falling and falling and falling and went into a free fall that will probably not stop.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And this is one of the situations where, and I hate to use this old cliche, when I was a kid, back then, and I remember losing my saber-toothed tiger into the tar pits, but that's another story entirely. But we were taught that the business model, if you had a business, was that, you have a little investment money, and you buy inventory, and you manufacture, and you sell, and out of the proceeds coming back in, you buy new inventory in order to manufacture and sell, and that little bit of profit gets divided between yourself and your investors, and that was kind of the business model. But these days, the banks have worked things out so that they're basically involved in every part of the transaction. You don't buy next month's inventory out of last month's earnings. You basically, your inventory is bought on a credit line, and then you're making payments on that credit line plus interest. And so the banking system has become so entrenched in every single transaction. And it wasn't always that way. I mean, we're used to seeing that's the way it is right now. But, banking was kind of an optional thing up until the creation of the Federal Reserve, where if you wanted to go to a bank to deposit money or make a loan, you could do that. But other than that, your transaction was direct between you and whoever you were buying your supplies from or whoever was buying products from you. And that was the direct transaction. Now everything goes through the bank. And so if the banks start getting nervous about your cash flow, they can kill your credit rating and your business can die through no fault of your own. And in
one of the things, I'm sorry to interrupt you on that, but, one of the things that's interesting to think about is take a General Motors or some company of that size, even the banks that have gone under. And, any 1 minute or second of the day, these companies have millions and millions of dollars in motion, just mm-hmm. constantly in motion. They have to. And, it's always been interesting, and I've thought about it in depth. How and when do these companies know they're broke?
That depends on the accounting rules in operation at the time. Like I said, with the recent changes to accounting rules that the government put through, especially with regard to mark-to-market, a lot of companies that would be considered insolvent, you know, are now declaring themselves to be profitable. But the short version is, you know you're broke when your liabilities exceed your assets and you don't have adequate cash flow to cover your commitments. And that's basically in a nutshell. Mark, we've got to let you go here.
All right, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. We'll talk to you again really, really soon. I'm going to respond to some of your stuff on the other side of the commercial break here. So hang on. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We've got about a half hour left to go on our Saturday program here. And the phone lines are open right now. If you want to get your last few licks in on the program here today, the number is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Matt is still in the control room, his hand hovering over the phone, ready to grab it as soon as it rings. So start punching those buttons. All right, turning to the rest of the world here, we've talked about economy and torture and all the other reasons you should be very angry right now at what has been going on in your name. You should be angry just at being lied at. You have been lied to your entire life about what the U.S. is really up to. And you should be angry. And if you aren't, then you'd better see a doctor because you may already be dead. So, now, turning to other parts of the world where we are still going around killing brown people, but remember, they only hate us because we're free. We have sent more missiles into Pakistan, another country where we're not really technically at war, but it sure is an incredible simulation if you're sitting there on the ground catching the shrapnel. The U.S. is claiming they hit an ammo dump belonging to the Taliban. The Pakistanis are saying, no, we nailed a school instead. I'm inclined to go along with the Pakistanis because of that wonderful cruise missile attack on what we were told was a biological weapons factory in Sudan on the exact same day that Monica Lewinsky was testifying in the investigation into Bill Clinton lying under oath. And on the day she was going to come out onto the steps of the courthouse and have this wonderful opportunity to talk to the press, and she walks out, and it's absolutely empty, and she says, you know, where'd everybody go? Where's the press? And, oh, well, Bill Clinton attacked Sudan. He blew up a biological weapons laboratory. And the press said, yes, it's a biological weapons laboratory. And, of course, over on the blogs were saying, no. Actually, they nailed an aspirin factory. And in fact, it was pretty much the only place where certain medications could be manufactured within Sudan. The owners of the factory turned around and sued the United States. So you, the taxpayer, not only got to pay for the $1 million a shot cruise missiles that blew the place up, you got to pay to rebuild it, put it back into operation again. It's such a deal, such a wonderful deal. So when the U.S. goes in and says we hit an ammunition dump, and the Pakistanis say we hit a school, I'm inclined to say, yeah, it was probably a school. The U.S. isn't very good at picking its targets. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we are getting reports that Israel has once again gone into the Gaza Strip and basically they're basically going after Hamas again. The Israelis just cannot stomach the fact that the Palestinian people voted Hamas into power in Palestine. Israel basically violated the ceasefire that was in place last November 4th during the U.S. elections when nobody was paying attention. They staged an attack. Gaza fought back, as anybody would when you're under attack. Israel screamed, ooh, they started it, they started it, and launched Operation Cast Lead, which has resulted in a tremendous, tremendous erosion of Israel's image around the world. They're going to great efforts to try and repolish their public image. I think they're learning a very hard lesson that it's one thing to create a positive public image when there's no contravening facts or evidence in sight. But when the entire nation is watching white phosphorus get showered all over school kids, and then some very obvious paid professional PR shill gets up there and says, oh, no, there was no white phosphorus. People start saying, yeah, come on. You know, there comes a point where public relations turns into very obvious outright lying, and Israel has gone way, way past it here. And this is another reason ADL is pushing this hate bill, because if this hate bill passes, it will be considered hate speech for us to say, you know, Israel's doing some very terrible things to the Palestinians. I'm not kidding. That is exactly the target of this bill, to make it illegal to point out that Israel is committing war crimes in the Gaza Strip. And yet it is exactly that kind of political observation that the First Amendment was created to protect. And I know I got email from somebody the other day saying, well, the First Amendment is there to protect political speech in and about the United States government. Doesn't give you a right to criticize Israel. I mean, you don't have a right to criticize Israel. Yeah, I do. Israel is getting billions and billions of dollars of our tax money and our weapons every single year. Barack Obama just went public saying that we, the wonderfully generous people of the United States, will make sure that Israel does not feel the effects of the current global downturn. It is U.S. law that the U.S. will guarantee Israel's oil needs, even if it creates shortages for the American people. Now, with situations like that, where Israel is a parasitic, well, it's a parasite on the throat of the American taxpayer, that gives the taxpayers in America an automatic right to be critical of what Israel is doing with those weapons and with that money, including dropping white phosphorus shells made in the United States of America onto UN-operated schools. So we do have a right to do that. All right, we've got another caller on the line, or maybe even be the same caller. Mark in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today? Mark in Texas. Going once, going twice. Okay, I guess Mark is not there. So anyway, turning back here to Israel, we're hearing from Israel. Actually, we're hearing from all over the place. In fact, I just got an article here from some of the British papers, basically saying that the Israel lobby is attempting to run up a propaganda campaign to sell the world, meaning mostly the United States, on the necessity to go after Iran, to attack Iran. That Iran is a threat, Iran is this, Iran is that. And it's the same stuff that we saw going into Iraq. And I want to point out a couple of things that happened here. First of all, Israel was saying exactly the same thing about Iraq's nuclear power station at Osirik as they are now about Iran's nuclear power station, that it was a cover for a clandestine nuclear weapons laboratory. Now, Israel would really know, because Israel actually does have a clandestine nuclear weapons laboratory underneath the reactor at Dimona. Mordecai Vanunu took pictures of it. The world has seen it. Israel's leaders obliquely refer to it. And and even our U.S. military acknowledges that Israel is a nuclear power. So Israel knows about clandestine nuclear weapons laboratories underneath reactors. However, when they went in and bombed the Osirik reactor, the inspectors went and looked at it after the Iraq invasion in 2003, and by golly, it was a power station. And there was no sign whatsoever of a clandestine nuclear weapons laboratory. No weapons of mass destruction anywhere in Iraq. Where did these accusations come from? They came from Israel. Remember that little APAC spy scandal thing they had there? They're talking about Larry Franklin and the Pentagon Office of Special Plans. And he was giving these APAC spies, Rosen and Weissman, information. And then along with this Israeli diplomat. The real scandal, the part they're not telling you, is the disinformation, forged documents, false claims and stuff that was coming back from Israel through APAC, through Rosen and Wiseman to Larry Franklin to the Pentagon Office of Special Plans, where Dick Cheney would pick it up and go over to CIA and say, we're getting this information from foreign intelligence services that Iraq has got gas and it's got germs and it's got nuclear bombs. And what is wrong with you guys that you can't find this stuff? That's the real scandal. Okay, the phones are filling up. We're going to take a break for some commercials, and then we're going to come back and talk to John Rand and the other John as soon as we get back from these words from our sponsors.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
Oh, man, I thought I was going deaf there, right in the middle of that their intro. Okay, the phone lines are just loaded up. We're going to go right to the phones. We've got John in Virginia. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am. What's on your mind?
Well, the topic that you were speaking about a little earlier, hate crimes, and this is something that is a pet peeve of mine, these nebulous terms where hate is a thought, not an action.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to me very, I don't understand how people who are actually trained in law, I'm not, are letting these things go by, these undefinable war on terror and hate being a thought, and trying to legislate these a thought, it's not an action.
Well, what they're trying to do is send a message that all hate is bad, that hate is something that you should never allow into your soul. That's absolutely wrong. There are times when hate is a perfectly appropriate reaction. I hate liars, especially liars in government that lie us into war. I hate cheats. I hate child molesters. I hate a government that has been torturing people, innocent people, to death and hiding it from us who are paying for it and sullying our image with the rest of the world. It's okay to hate people that and institutions that do hateful things. Hate
yeah.
gets a bad rap, but sometimes hate is very, very useful. It's a survival mechanism. It's why we have that capacity to develop a blind hate and rage against somebody who is a threat to us.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, I'm on another slightly different topic, speaking of these attacks in Pakistan, you hear about these drones going out there and put missiles on top of people, and then they have this so-called, this is another term I love, collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
They find out, you've got all these people got wiped out and all the orphaned kids are there. And it just seems to be such a self-fulfilling prophecy, the so-called war on terror, when here we are paying for these missiles to go in there and kill people. We have no idea. They're dead. We have no idea if they were guilty. They never had a trial, nothing. All we know is they're dead. But their kids are living on, and I just wonder what those kids are going to grow up and think about America.
Oh, they're going to hate us for our freedoms, very, very obviously. I mean, the bottom line is functionally, from the people who are feeling the effects of this thing, there is no difference between a suicide bomber and a cruise missile. They do exactly the same thing. They just go off, and they hit a lot of innocent people. And let's face it, torture is a form of terrorism, and so the U.S. government has banned carrying out a campaign of terror in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Who else knows where this has been going on here? So
right.
We talk about a war on terror, yet it is the U.S. government that is the greatest exporter of terror in the world right now.
Yeah, and especially with this, with the torture situation. I mean, with this circular argument, these nebulous terms, it's just such trouble. And I'm a little bit, I get on my soapbox once in a while, but I don't understand why there isn't more of a powerful outcry from the university community, the legal community,
from everybody. Where's the anger? Where's the outrage?
Yeah.
John, we got to let you go. We've got callers,
Thanks
and we're
so
trying to get to everybody this segment. Thanks.
It's
we're going to switch
work.
Over to Rand in Texas. Aloha, Rand. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today? Rand in Texas. I guess he just dropped. We're going to switch to John in Ohio. Aloha, John. Welcome to the We got Rand. All right. Rand
yeah.
in Texas. Aloha.
Hey,
what's on your mind?
Mike, I really appreciate your show. I really like the way you stay focused, cool, calm, and collected. It's It's a pleasure to listen to. But
you're obviously not watching the webcam.
Well, maybe not. But anyway, on the topics you were discussing today, I have a couple of comments of the on the torture. You know, it's like why people aren't outraged like that guy was just asking is because, you know, I mean, the Israelis and the elite, they're running the media. And so, you know, they spoon feed people just limited hangs on. Like, I mean, how many times have you heard that the Americans have actually admitted that they've killed over 32 people in extreme interrogations? Once.
Yes.
You know, I saw it one time. And then, you know, they'll bring up the beheadings that the terrorists did to our, you know, to Americans, you know, Richard Pearl and the like over and over and over again. But they just barely just mention the fact that, yeah, we've killed a lot of people in those interrogations, too. But, you know, who cares? They were terrorists, ragheads.
Yeah, they were Muslims and, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Different than us, so it's okay.
Yeah, that really is the situation.
But the answer is, where's the outrage? America, the American populace has been so dumbed down. So dumbed down. I'm telling you, it's almost like I'm getting to the point where I'm just, you know, frustrated that, you know, it's like, why should you even bother caring anymore? You know, it's like people are so stupid. And while this government is just running completely amok and basically committing worldwide genocide, you know, and all people in America seem to care about is, you know, what's on TV and what they're going to eat. And, you know, I have enough money for gas in my car, and you know, who cares what your government's doing?
Well, you know, that was Ceausescu's mistake. And so hold that one. All right, we're running out of time. The callers are piling up. I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to get to all the calls we've got waiting right now, but we're going to switch over to John in Ohio. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I think a lot of the problem is people are watching the controlled television, which is run by the CIA and the military-industrial complex, whether it's CNN, Fox, or NPR, which its head, Kevin Close, is the former head of all CIA radio foreign propaganda broadcast. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they say the lies in a soft FM voice or in a boilerplate Rush Limbaugh voice. It all comes down to the same lies, just marketed to different people. And,
yeah.
And I really think that, you know, just Caller said, it is the media that has determined what people think. It controls their brain and what they're going to get upset about. You look at situation, any country that disobeys the CIA, Wall Street, or the Pentagon is going to be mercilessly smeared with a buck of those emboss cards of hate. Any country that obeys and acts as a proxy marcher lord and attack dog like Israel will be whitewashed no matter how much genocide they commit, when they're committing hundreds of times more civilian killings than the other way around. Never mind, it doesn't matter. In my, you've got to get other sources. You know, counterpunch.com is a good one, globalresearch.ca, mm-hmm. and others, because, you won't know, for instance, that in a country that tried to go an independent way like Cuba, that we've got, terrorists in this country who blew up a Cuban airliner, tried to blow up a university where Castro was going to speak. He's running free in this country. Another terrorist, Orlando Bosch, along with him. Blew up a car killing foreign diplomats right in the shadow of our Congress, and he's running free. Yet the people who tried to stop this terrorism, who've infiltrated some of these CIA-connected groups in Florida, are now spending life in prison. And the media doesn't tell us about any of this totally double standard.
Well, let me interrupt right here real quick because we're almost out of time here. You know, what we need to look at is the realization that this torture scandal goes back a lot further than just the Iraq War. We've uncovered photos of American soldiers water torturing Philippines. We've found magazine articles going back 100 years reporting that Americans were water torturing Panamanians during our intervention in their revolution down there. So it's been going on all along, and the corporate media, the TV media, has, you know, not been reporting it and giving it the focus that it really, really deserves. I mean, this article that we got from 100 years ago, basically their attitude is they deserved it, it's good for us to do it, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is all of these lies and deceptions going into Iraq, that are coming out now, and yes, it's great that the corporate media is reporting it now, but they're reporting it when it's too late to change the outcome. And they're reporting it mostly because they can't go on pretending it didn't exist because the blogs have made it a very obvious story. But the reality is the corporate media is part of the problem, and more Americans are realizing that, and they are turning to alternative media. That's why they're here listening to this show. That's why they go to whatreallyhappened.com. That's why they go to Alex Jones' websites and listen to his show. Because they understand they're not going to get the information they need to be making good decisions on the TV networks, from the paper newspapers, from the glossy magazines. It's just not going to happen. Okay? They're just going to get sales pitch. All right, that's the end of our show. The music means we're over. Mark in Texas and Bob in Ohio, I apologize. We weren't able to get to you in the show today. Call in Monday, 7 p.m. I'm sorry, 5 p.m. Central. I'm confusing my shows. 5 p.m. Central here on GCN. So, we're into the weekend. Have a relaxing time. I hope the weather is as great there as it is here on the island of Oahu. So until we talk again, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, lots of cinnamon on that toast in the morning, and aloha, America.